Welcome to our Together on Mission podcast, where we chat about what it looks like to apprentice ourselves to Jesus, to be with Him and like Him, in each moment and in each relationship. Our host is Travis Twineman, the lead pastor at the Inland Vineyard Church in Corona, California. In this season of the podcast, we will be talking about the good life as we read and pray through the book of Titus. So let's begin a conversation with Jesus this morning, and then enjoy that conversation throughout the day.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this season of the podcast. This is Travis, and it's Thursday morning, and it's so good to be with all of you. It really is. I've got my coffee and my Bible open to Genesis 3, and I'm in my morning spot, and I'm excited to just begin a conversation and enjoy that conversation throughout the day. And we've been looking at the first chapter of Titus and reading and praying every verse in the first chapter of Titus. And as I mentioned yesterday, behind this incredible first chapter of Titus is the origin stories of humanity. Genesis 1, Genesis 2, and Genesis 3. And yesterday we looked at Genesis 1 and 2. Today we're going to look at Genesis 3, because when Titus chapter 1 contrasts, you know, the good life with the life that leads to death, or contrasting truth and lies, or contrasting good and evil, Genesis 1, 2, and 3 are behind the narrative. And sometimes it's a good idea just to kind of step back and enjoy the sweeping meta-narrative of God's redemptive plan and see what God's up to and His heart and see what the enemy is up to. And so the title of the podcast this morning is Looking Good. And the reality is the enemy is very good at making sin look really good. The enemy is very good at making sin look attractive or fun or simple or satisfying or fulfilling. The enemy is great at making sin look like a really good way to get through the evening, a really good way to get through this season. One theologian, tongue-in-cheek, says that, you know, a lie is an abomination to God and a very present help in time of trouble. And the enemy, if we can be honest, is very good at offering sin as a very present help in time of trouble. And so often we get deceived into thinking that this evil is actually going to end up being good, that this lie is going to work out in the end, that abusing, you know, money or alcohol or sex or anything that God created and declared good will actually end up being okay. Or here's a lie that the enemy seeks to deceive me with. Oh, Travis, that's not a big deal. Other sin is a big deal, but that or this is not a very big deal. And so let's just pause for a moment. I've been reflecting on this morning, and I'd like to, you know, to do it together. What sin has the enemy held out to you that is looking quite attractive, looking simple, looking satisfying, looking fulfilling? What sin is the enemy holding out to you and saying, you know what, that's going to relieve a little bit of tension, that's going to get you through the night or the season, it's not a big deal? You know, what have you justified or maybe argued yourself into? And maybe we're beginning to think even right now as we're talking and hanging out with each other in Jesus that the enemy's covered a little bit more ground than we thought of making sin look good and attractive and, you know, not that big of a deal. And again, behind Titus chapter 1, with the contrast of good and evil and God's heart and what the enemy's trying to do, is Genesis 3, the famous chapter of the fall of humankind. And so in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Did God really say that you are not to eat from any tree in the garden?'" Now, first of all, that word crafty in Hebrew means sneaky or subtle or deceptive. And so the enemy comes to the woman, God's image bearer, and says, "Did God really say?" I mean, beginning to call God's word, God's truth, God's heart into question. And then as we get into verse 4, the enemy says, "You will not certainly die. Ah, for God knows that when you eat of that tree, your eyes will be opened, and you will know good from evil." So notice the enemy's sneaky and subtle plan, right? Making sin, you know, look good. The enemy says to Adam and Eve, your eyes are going to be opened. You know, it's not a big deal. Did God really say, twisting God's word and calling God's heart into question, and the enemy's actually saying, hey, you're going to be enlightened if you reach out and eat from this tree. It's going to go well with you. You know, you're going to be better. You're going to be fulfilled and satisfied. You're going to know more. In fact, God is holding out on you because the reality is in Genesis 1 and 2, God has revealed his heart. He's revealed his goodness, his truth, his rest, his freedom, and then the enemy comes along and calls God's heart into question and says to Adam and Eve, God is holding out on you. His heart is not good towards you. And he makes sin look attractive, look simple, satisfying, fulfilling, not a very big deal. And he says, hey, Adam, hey, Eve, you can become the determiner of what is good and what is evil. You can take control and authority of your life. And that's deception. That's what the enemy's after. And then, of course, we see in verse 6, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eye, desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and she ate some. And that's back to the title of this podcast and the strategy of the enemy, which is to make sin look good, pleasing to the eye, desirable for gaining wisdom, attractive. And of course, remember, it's not like God created all this good stuff and then the enemy came along and created all this bad stuff. No, the enemy is just a fallen angel. The enemy can't create. All he can do is take what God has created and twist it and pervert it and make the perversion of God's creation, make sin look good, look attractive, look satisfying, look fulfilling. And so Adam and Eve eat of the fruit of the tree. And I'm just pondering this story and I'm thinking about my life, and I would love for you to ponder this story and think about your life. Where has the enemy gained ground? Where has the enemy made sin look, you know, good for food, pleasing to the eye, desirable for gaining wisdom? Where has the enemy sowed the lie? Oh, that's not a big deal. Oh, it'll get you through the night, through the season. Where have we justified what the enemy is trying to deceive us in and through? And here's the thing, I don't know exactly how to say this, but I want to say this. You know, Jesus died, paid the price for our sin. All aspects of our salvation have been complete in Jesus Christ. And Jesus rose from the dead. And the grace and the mercy of Jesus is available to anyone and everyone. All those that call on the name of the Lord will be saved. The resurrection talks about the life, the new life of the kingdom of God. And sometimes, again, I don't know exactly how to say this, but sometimes I think we move to the category of grace or mercy or forgiveness as a way to slither out of God's call for us to call evil, evil, to call lies, lies, to call sin, sin. Sometimes I think we move to the categories of grace and mercy to slither out of the call to holiness. You know, confronting the enemy and calling sin, sin, and choosing righteousness and holiness and that resurrected life. And I guess I want to say that and this is what's on my heart right now, and as I was reading this passage this morning, that there's more to Christianity than being involved in continuous sin and continually asking for forgiveness for the same thing week after week and year after year. I'm not saying that God won't forgive us. He will. He forgives us before we've even asked, but the journey of Christianity is so much more than a journey of sin management. It's a call into life. It's a call into truth. It's a call into taking authority over the con job that the enemy in his craftiness and sneakiness is trying to do in making sin look attractive and satisfying and simple. And so the prayer that I'm going to pray as I land this plane that I'd like to invite you into is just a prayer of, Lord, open my eyes. Open my eyes to see the ground that the enemy's covered. Open my eyes to see where sin has become attractive, has become not a big deal, has become something that I think is, you know, simple and attractive and fun. And open my eyes, God, to see what it is that by the power of the Spirit I can not only see, but walk in for the glory of God. So let's pray what Christians have been praying for centuries, this prayer of, Lord, open my eyes. Because the commission that I'm sensing from the Spirit today for me and for you is, let's walk in the freedom of the resurrection of Jesus. Let's walk in the truth of the resurrection of Jesus. Let's walk in the good life that Jesus was raised to deliver us and is inviting us into by the power of the Spirit. So let's just begin that conversation with Jesus this morning and then continue it throughout the day. And we will talk tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Together on Mission podcast. We hope you are blessed and encouraged by it today. If you had any questions about the Inland Vineyard Church, our ministries, or our Sunday services, feel free to connect with us on social media platforms like Facebook and Instagram, or check out our website at inlandvineyard.org.